Just chillin', Blofeld, I'm assuming he's a villain. I will sing it this time, Blofeld on my mind. There's no business like spy business. You can run around and shoot a gun, but shooting Blofeld is a ditzy, and God, it's a lot of fun.
Today is Tuesday, November 10th, and you are listening to episode number 21 of Just Nerd Stuff, where people think we left, but we're back, even though we never left. Now we know how James Bond feels. Ha. My name is Corey, and this is one of my co-hosts.
Kohler. Kurt Kohler.
Damn, why didn't I use that?
Yeah, what up? I just won this show.
Today's spoiler review is the new 007 film, Spectre, where only in the movies can you kill a man, tell the widower it was you, and then sleep with her.
Props, dude.
Mad props. And also in the news, apparently Star Trek is returning to TV. Sort of. Well, I mean, well, it's in the works.
Sort of.
I really hope we get the actual cast back, though.
Well. Sort of.
Okay.
So, hope everybody's having a good day. Thank you all for listening with us. We're having a good old time.
I can hear you listening right now. Listen to the sound of my voice.
You can hear the listeners?
Well, yes, I can hear them. I just know exactly what they're doing. They're probably like sitting, eating probably like a bag of chips or something. And they're just like, mm-hmm.
Or this
guy's talking to me right now.
Or they're in their car.
Yeah, they could totally be in their car.
Driving to work.
They could be driving to work. But you know what? I'm talking to you right now. You. Yeah, I know it's you. Yeah, you.
You know what you're kind of doing? You're kind of doing what the televangelists do. They say, I'm praying for a guy who has a broken leg right now. And whoever's watching the show that happens to have a broken leg going, oh my God, he's talking about me.
Exactly.
That's how they get you.
Hey, you guy, eating that bag of chips, save me some.
Sorry. He sends him, what's the address again? I'll send it to him.
I don't know.
He could use it. Yeah, you know what? I think that, I forget where I read it one time, but it was, faith healers do not work in hospitals for the same reason psychics do not win the lottery. Because they're both full of boop.
Did you just bleep yourself?
I did bleep myself. I wasn't.
You didn't even say a swear word. You just said bleep.
I wasn't even about to say
Okay.
Ah, well.
So, let's get on with it.
Let's get on with it. But before we do, we have a quick announcement. Next week, we are going to be in Elihu, the Elihu 3 Con up in New York. So, we still never got a word if we're... Yeah, I'm excited, but we still never got a word if we're getting an interview or not. I'm still waiting for an email. So I'm hoping we do. If we do, we're going to be very unprepared by the time we get there, because it'll be like the day before.
No, we'll prepare.
No, I mean, I want to write down questions and everything for whoever we interview, but at the end of the day, it's like, we're probably going to get it like the day before, and it's like, all right, you're interviewing such and such. Like, oh, crap. Now what?
General questions? No.
Sorry, that was a How I Met Your Mother reference.
Don't do it.
But, yeah, so that's where we're going to be. When we do our next episode, I don't know how we're going to do next week's episode. We had ideas, and now we don't have ideas, and I don't know what's going on.
We're working on it. For you.
But yeah, so we're going to...
Yeah, you guy.
Roll with the punches and see how it goes next week, and we'll have conversations about the con, and hopefully an interview, and you guys will enjoy it. We're really hoping. Well, speaking of Doctor Who... Let's get into last week on TV. So, I'll even admit, we've all been kind of slacking on TV shows. I know Kurt's been busy. He has his full-time job. He's working on it. He's trying. And he's, you know...
Well, it's not the full-time hours. It's the third shift.
Yeah.
I mean, I get off work. I go straight to bed.
Yeah, sleep deprived. I know what that's like. I've worked third shift. And even for me, like, I've been very busy with a lot of stuff lately, and, you know, not having a car does not help. Got a bike everywhere.
You're saving your money, dude. Just buy a car.
I'm trying. Black Friday is coming up, and I want to get a TV for my bedroom. And I'm investing in an iPad for a number of reasons.
Think about what you want and what you need. You need a car.
So is it the same way that Gotham needs the hero but not the one it deserves, or the one it deserves but not the one it needs right now? Is that the way I should be thinking?
Yes.
Okay.
So the car will always take precedence.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
So either way, we may have all been busy, but I still always watch Doctor Who. That is my go-to staple every week. And the Doctor Who this past week, I told both Kurt and Jacob to watch, and now Jacob's not here, but I made Kurt watch it this morning with me.
Oh my God, Jacob's not here.
Jacob!
Jacob!
No, no Jacob.
I swear he was just right there.
He was right there. Kurt, your sleep deprivation is getting to you.
I'm sorry.
But I told both of them, I cannot implore you guys enough to watch this past week's episode because it was utterly one of the deepest, most pertinent episodes they have ever done. It speaks on so many deeper levels than any other Doctor Who episode could, because the show, you know, the show is not afraid to go to those kind of deep, like, moral situations. You know, it's a kid's show. You can have fun with it. And I was just expecting, because this was the Zygon episode.
I got to tell you, like, I just watched it not too long ago. It wasn't terrible.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Well, you can say what you want about it. I'm telling them this because this is interesting.
I can tell you one thing. The Doctor, he was in it. Well, you're not wrong.
Actually, there is an upcoming episode where it's just him and no one else.
Oh, I like that.
I'm interested. But this past week's episode, it was a follow-up to the 50th anniversary episode, which had the Zygons in it, and the whole 50th anniversary had the ceasefire between them. So that was kind of like the subplot for the 50th. But now that came full front in this episode. It's this two-parter, and ultimately, it's about a splinter group of Zygons who come to Earth and say, you know, you guys should not be living, like, these Zygons that are hidden on Earth, they're like, you guys shouldn't be living in fear, you should be living the way you want to, and if you are, you know, going to do this anyway, then you've betrayed your race, and we're going to expose you all, so that way we'll cause mass panic, everybody will kill each other, so I want war. And that is what this main Zygon who, spoilers, takes over Clara, her image. And, you know, she's leading everything. So all of this, long story short, the Doctor says that there's this box. It's called the Osgood box. And Osgood is that character who could be Zygon, could be human. You don't know. And that's a question theme.
Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah, Schrodinger's cat, basically. He says they're both at human and Zygon at the same time. So long story short, we're getting to the end. No. The Osgood box is basically what will end the war. It'll end the ceasefire, and it will end everything. And he basically tells both the humans and the Zygons that one of the box, it's two boxes at the end of the episode. One box will expose them all, and one box will destroy them all. But then when they open them up, now there's more buttons, and it's all about truth and consequences. So all in all, the whole point to this episode is there are casualties of war, and everything behind it is where we should be focusing on instead of all the killing. So I want to play a small clip. I'm going to include this now. And in this clip, he's basically discussing with the main Zygon everything that, she needs to think. She needs to sit and think about what she is doing, the consequences of it, because the Doctor's point to this all is to avoid war at all costs. So let's listen to this clip.
Why are you doing this?
Yes, I'd quite like to know that too. You set this up. Why?
Because it's not a game, Kate. This is a scale model of war. Every war ever fought right there in front of you. Because it's always the same. When you fire that first shot, no matter how right you feel, you have no idea who's going to die. You don't know whose children are going to scream and burn. How many hearts will be broken? How many lives shattered? How much blood will spill until everybody does what they were always going to have to do from the very beginning? Sit down and talk!
Fair. Yeah, that was the second time I got crabs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should tell her to get checked.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, the clip's up?
Oh, the clip. Oh,
so
the
clip's anyway.
Good. So, yeah. No, that clip. I love this episode for so many reasons, but that speech alone is just... It's
powerful.
Yes.
Because his message should be shown to all governments.
All world leaders.
All world leaders. Because
Kim Jong-un especially.
We're not going to name names.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry. We love Kim Jong-un.
Just stop.
Am I ruining it? I'm sorry.
Just no. Okay, so all world leaders should really take this message to heart because he's trying to come across the fact that all war, it starts out with bloodshed, killing, everyone dying, children dying, families being torn apart. But all war ends with them finally sitting down and talking.
Which is where it should have been in the first place.
He's saying,
yeah.
Why can't it just start with that? Sit down and talk, and no bloodshed will happen.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, why can't world leaders just do that?
Yeah, I mean, right after the clip that we played, Kurt was telling me it was too long. So I agree. The clip eventually went on. He said to the Zygon, why don't you just stand down? She goes, I will not stand down. I will not change my mind. He's like, then you'll die stupid. Because exactly. She's not thinking. You are stopping your knowledge process right there because you're giving up.
Exactly.
You want what you want, and that's it. She wants war. He even asks her, and when he's like, okay, well, when it's all said and done, when you finally have everything the way you want, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Do you have an idea in place? Are people going to have holidays? Or are they going to play music? Who's going to make the violins to play the music? You don't really know what it is you want except what you want in the moment because you're not thinking. You're emotional. You need
exactly.
to stop, slow down, and talk. And that is what it is today. That message, it goes so far beyond what the show is about with, you know, fun sci-fi, with aliens and creatures. It is so much more than that when you get to the heart of the character of the Doctor, because even the Doctor himself says, I'm not a doctor. Davros said, you're not a good doctor. And they laugh because he's not.
It's true.
It's a name to him. He's just a guy with a box traveling around. He's like you or me.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason I love that show so much. Just more than just the fun exhilaration of space and time.
The message that they can really relay to people.
Yeah.
Relay to people. There we go.
Yes.
I don't know.
English.
Replay.
English.
Relay.
Maybe the TARDIS translator Matrix kind of failed on you.
Yeah, probably.
You're speaking Chatulan right now.
Cthul?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, but again, this is maybe admittedly a little plug here for people who have not watched Doctor Who. Please go check it out. It's not for everybody, but that show can be anything it wants to be when the time's right. And it's always different, always changing up. I won't say every episode is always good. Of course, they're bad episodes. But the good ones, like this one, just stood out. And it meant so much more than just this week's Doctor Who. So, you look deep in thought.
Seriously, like this two-parter.
It's funny? It started out slow, too.
Okay.
It was kind of a weird pickup.
Okay, see, I've kind of like... slowly been weaning away off Doctor Who since Capaldi started. But this kind of thing, I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah, the writing's still there.
Just whoa.
I mean, and even I'm on the fence, and we'll talk about it when the finale shows up, but yeah. Season 9 all over, basically it's different feel because everything is two-parters. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it has a different vibe, and because of that, it's even kind of off-putting me. I like having singular episodes, but I also like having two-parters. I think if you have the right mix in between, it works. I think having all two-parters doesn't work. We've already had Season 7, which was all singular episodes. That doesn't really work either. So it's on the fence, but I give them credit for changing it up and trying new things and seeing what works and what doesn't, because they know they're in a popular point right now where they're not going to really lose a lot of viewership.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go on and get into the news. Now, this is a piece of news from last week. I really wanted to get Kurt's thoughts on this because I know he would have a lot more to say than Jacob did, which Jacob was just like, yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love you, Jacob. So, apparently, Kurt, back in 2010, there was a company called Red Fly Studios, and they were hired by LucasArts to create a game centered around Darth Maul. And, however, the project was canceled, but since Disney acquired Lucasfilm, they would like to pitch it to EA Games and seeing if they would pick the game back up. And from what word has been saying, it looks like it may happen, and if it's being done, it's going to have Arkham Knight combat mechanics. So how do you feel about that? Because how awesome would it be to have Arkham Knight mechanics in combat but swinging a dual-blade lightsaber?
Cool.
Oh, yeah!
Sorry, I had to.
I can't take these one-word responses. It's like I sent you a 5-page text message. Okay.
Okay.
That's the equivalent of what you guys are doing to me.
All right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be an origin story.
As long as it's not an origin story, I'm still not... I don't think Arkham Knight style fighting... It probably wouldn't work.
Maybe.
It probably wouldn't work.
Would it be cool?
It would be cool, but unless the story is absolutely phenomenal, I probably wouldn't play it.
But also think about his combat. Think about his style in the movie.
I know his style well.
Okay. I'm surprised you would think that it wouldn't work.
But an Arkham Knight style, no.
Huh.
An Arkham style with Darth Maul... I don't think that would work. You have to go to a simple mechanics like in like Jedi Outcast, for example.
Okay.
Like the mechanics that they had, I mean, they were kind of stupid in that. But if you can do like flipping and twirling and everything, that would be cool.
Well, yeah.
But like jumping from, because if you think about it, the way Batman fights in Arkham, you literally punch one guy, immediately you're at the next guy. You're just jumping around, and it's quick kills. It shouldn't be like that. It should be a fluid, not fast-paced motion. It should be fluid and beautiful, elegant.
I mean, it still can be. I mean, think about him flipping in the air. Darth Maul would flip above over a guy and then probably just stab from behind and then stab in front.
Yeah, I understand that, but like the mechanics that Arkham has would not work for that. You would have to create your own engine for it. If not, go off an older style. But the Arkham style would not work.
That really surprises me.
Like, if they use the exact same engine as Arkham. Arkham or, Shadow of Mordor, that kind of stuff, that kind of mechanics, it would not work at all.
Huh.
Trust me, I could picture it in my head.
I can picture it in my head, too, and I picture a good game. Huh, interesting.
I don't see it like that.
I think as far as story, I think it'd be kind of cool to make Obi-Wan the main antagonist for the game and have it open with the fight from episode 1. And then, since that is all canon, we have to talk about it as canon, the fight from episode 1 begins it, he gets the robot legs, and then it's him on his journey. You can even include Clone Wars episodes, the path in there that he goes, introduce a new side character with him. And then... I'd say end the game with a fight between him and Obi-Wan post Revenge of the Sith.
I'm sorry.
Either that or, because obviously Obi-Wan needs to live, so maybe there's another character in the Jedi that he would fight and actually win against and kill.
I don't know. That'd be difficult.
So Star Trek is definitely returning to TV, but it's not TV that we know. It is in development for the CBS All Access app, which is kind of like Hulu or Netflix apps, but it's supposed to come in January 2017.
Well, that's TV of today.
Yeah, that is TV of today. And the producer, Alex Kurtzman, is leading it.
Well, I can tell you one thing about it.
What?
I am not going to be watching it.
Really? What if it's the movie cast?
I'm not a Trekkie.
Well, I don't consider myself either, but I liked the movies.
If it's directed by J.J. Abrams, I will do it. I will watch it.
But the producer, Alex Kurtzman, is from the producers of the movies. He headed the project.
Watch the pilot.
And maybe one other episode.
Maybe.
I will try.
Depending on how good it is.
Even with the new cast?
I'm not a Trekkie.
But you liked the movie.
I loved the movies. That's because you can watch those movies and not be a Star Trek fan and be like, damn, that's a good movie.
But what if they continue on with those stories of those characters that you know
If
now?
It's those characters, I'm cool with that. Like, but
well, I wouldn't expect them to be any other characters.
But like, if they're going to try, well, if they're going to try some stupid nonsense actors, I mean, sorry, I'm tired. If they try some stupid nonsense actors that we don't even know, and like we know like one guy, we're just like, oh, he was in that one movie one time. Like, that's the kind of thing where I'm just like, I'm good.
I'd want the entire cast from the movie to be in the show.
But they're not going to do it because most of them are movie actors. There's a difference between TV actors and movie actors.
Yeah, but there's also actors like
although Idris Elba is on a Netflix original series.
Yeah.
So
depends on what they want out of it. Nowadays, TV shows are where to go.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I don't even care. I'm not a Trekkie.
On a sad note, I don't know if anybody here has heard about the Force for Daniel hashtag, which was about the terminally ill man, Daniel Fleetwood. He 32 years old. He was convinced he was not going to live long enough to see Force Awakens in theaters, and he sent out a message basically to the production team and Abrams and saying, I would love to see the movie early because I don't think I'm going to live long enough. He was given like 2 months. And the 2 months, at the end of the 2 months, would be when the movie came out. So even Mark Hamill, John Boyega, the actors of the new film, they all got on board, did the hashtag Force for Daniel, wanted him to see it. He got his wish. And they brought him in. I don't know where they brought him in, but they brought him in somewhere. He watched an unfinished, unedited version of the film. Apparently, like, it's almost done, but he watched most of it. But he got to see the movie. He got a poster and everything. Abrams gave him a phone call. It was really cool. But unfortunately, he passed away just the other morning. It was this morning.
Did he say if it was good?
I think he was told not to say a word about it. But I think that's cool. Think of the movie Fanboys. Where
it's not fair.
Yeah, but okay, let's put it this way. The movie Fanboys, that was where he went to see episode 1 and he didn't say anything about it, and then he passed away. Then at the end of the movie, they all say, what if it sucks? Da 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 da. The movie was over.
What if it does?
But I don't
but
want.
But Corey, what if it sucks?
Here's the thing, Kurt. I don't want it to suck because I don't want this to be an actual live I don't want the movie Fanboys to come to life. I don't want that to happen. That happened for this guy. He went to see it, and I'm sure he had a great time. Somehow, I don't think it sucks.
This is the first time a true story happened after the movie happened.
Mind blown. Somebody has a time machine.
The movie Fanboys came out. Some guy was terminally ill, got to see the movie unedited, and
yeah,
and now it happened.
Well, the kids, he didn't say anything about the movie. He just walked out. He was like, okay, I'm glad I got to see it.
I bet he freaked out in the, like, alone in the room.
I'm sure he probably would have cried or something. But anyway, so we just felt the need to say that. And, you know, our thoughts go with the Fleetwood family. And hopefully it's good. Hopefully he walked away happy from that. And yeah. Sad notes.
But what if it sucks?
Hey.
Anyway.
You want to know something? Here's the king of wasting time. There's apparently a guy.
You?
No. It took over. This guy, runner guy 2489. I think that's a username he had on, I don't know. I don't know what the website is. But it's one of those live stream gaming sites. It took him over 103 hours to beat The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time blindfolded. That's right. You heard me. blindfolded. He beat the entire game, including all side missions. He played through the first three dungeons blindfolded earlier this year for charity. But he beat everything, 100% completion, blindfolded.
How many times did he die?
A lot. I watched the last 3 hours, which the last 3 hours was him getting out of the dungeon. This is what it is. He took a pillowcase and put it over his head, and he remembered exactly where he mapped out everything. He's like, okay, I need to go backwards. I need to flip back. And he heard himself die.
I can just imagine the YouTube video. This video is just, you see the camera, the camera's facing the TV, and all it is Link running in circles.
You'd think, but it's not.
No, that's just what I picture this. Because how many hours? 100 and what?
103.
No.
Yeah.
I'm not, no.
You need to see the video. I highly suggest, dude, everybody go and check it out. Because he apparently beat it before. He beat it before blindfolded, but this was his challenge to beat it 100% completion, and he did it.
If you seriously have all the time in the world to waste, watch it. And tell me what it was like. And tell me, do you feel accomplished that you spent 103 hours watching a video of one guy trying to beat a video game?
The real question is, do you feel accomplished when you beat the video game 100% completion blindfolded? Is that your greatest achievement in life? Will you be putting that on a resume for an actual job?
I'm going to go have sex. I'm sorry.
I think I've said that before. It's like, hey, if you think he's happy now, just wait till he has sex for the first time.
Yeah. Anyway, no. Like, I'm not joshing on the guy. It's very impressive. But I will not watch that video. Like, I don't care if he has the Guinness World Record. I'd be like, damn, that's pretty freaking awesome that he can do that. But why would I sit there and watch the entire thing?
I didn't watch the whole final 3 hours. I skipped ahead a couple times.
I'm not watching that thing.
But it was cool to see the final Beast Ganon fight and whatnot.
But anyway.
So let's get into the review of the week. James Bond 007 Spectre.
This organization, do you know what it's called?
Its name is Spectre.
And you know who links them all?
Me. Welcome, James.
You came across me so many times, yet you never saw me.
What took you so long?
Okay. So, I'm going to give this out of 5 two different ratings. I want to give it to Kurt first when he's done singing. Okay, what do you give it out of 5? Okay. The listeners are waiting.
Out of 5, 4.75. I am going to do quarters because giving a 4.5, I don't feel like it's enough. Mm-hmm. But giving it a 5, I feel like it's too much.
Yeah, that's saying it's perfect. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but it is damn good.
It is damn good.
And you know what? I think, with my honest opinion, out of all, well, not all Bond films, but I really had time to think about this. Out of the Daniel Craig era, by far the best one. Wow. Not my favorite, but it is definitely the best one.
Wow.
Out of the Daniel Craig era. And I will also include the Pierce Brosnan era.
Hmm.
Because Pierce Brosnan, let's be honest, it was okay.
Yeah. I'm also going to do a quarter, but I'm going to go the opposite direction.
1.5? How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
That's fantastic. Fantastic Four level bull. No, I'm giving it 4.25.
How dare you?
Because I wrote out of an enjoyment level out of 5, 4.5.
Where'd you put Skyfall? A 3?
See, okay, well, let me get on this, and then anyway. I'll explain my thoughts about Skyfall. But for enjoyment factor out of 5, I said 4.5. I thought I was, like, pretty damn entertained. I enjoyed it a lot. But as far as being critical, I was going to give it a 4. So I'm right in the middle. I'm doing 4.25 because of that sake. My initial thoughts was that, like, while it was like Skyfall, that this one plays with the classic Bond feel mixed with the current Bond. The problem, in my opinion, with Skyfall is that its attempt to merge classic Bond with new Bond, while people liked it, to me, it always felt a little clunky. It was, like, a little rough.
Can I go on my rant about Skyfall real quick?
Hold on. Let me finish my thought, okay. And then I'll allow you... ladies and gentlemen, get ready for Kurt's rant.
Yeah, because it's pretty bad.
So, with that in mind, Spectre's take on classic Bond mixed with new Bond felt a lot better in the sense of merging the two. It felt like this felt like a little... like, they got it rough at first. Now they have it kind of figured out and how they want to merge it up. So... in that sense, I give the new movie props for figuring out. Skyfall, to me, was just, like, too setup-y. It was too, like, oh, ha-ha, that's what they're going for. It didn't really work, in my opinion. And as far as Skyfall's plot was the villain wants to be captured so he can escape and get out again. That's captured again. That's Dark Knight. That's basically what that is. I've seen that kind of plot before. So seeing it again really kind of threw me off. And it just felt very cookie-cutter. This one... Spectre feels a little bit... I compare Spectre to True Lies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That movie is an action movie that just doesn't let up. It just keeps going, even when you think it's done. And even Spectre has that moment where I think it's done and it's not.
I love the moment when they're on the train. Like, they're just having a really nice dinner and all of a sudden, just no.
Oh, God.
Like, you can't have a fancy moment.
Jinxie.
Mr. Jinx. Okay.
Jinxie.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
But, Kurt, before you say anything about Jinxie, give us your rant on Skyfall.
Yay!
Okay. Here's the rant.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my issue with Skyfall. Like, what the hell? Okay. Seriously.
Keep it short. Okay, we're going to talk about Spectre.
The whole point of the Daniel Craig era was to try to, like, they originally wanted to go with that this is the beginning of Bond. Like, Casino Royale is supposedly where he became James Bond.
Right.
He became 007 because you see in Casino Royale that he actually became a 007. Like, he became a 00 at the end of the intro. Like, he officially became a 00. Now, that was his first mission. Quantum of Solace was a direct sequel. It literally took place right after. So, you have to assume that this is the beginning of Bond. Like, he's just starting out. Like, you just get into the bare basis of what Bond is. And then we'll eventually get the gadgets.
Right.
That's why it all started where he just had a gun.
Right.
A gun and a badge. That's it. So, he's just an agent with a gun. But, yeah. So, they do that. Then I'm thinking, now granted, at the same time, at the end of Casino Royale, you're just like, oh man, Mr. White. And then you find out that he was working for this organization. Well, you find out, like, what's with this guy? Like, you find out he was working with people. And then you're like, holy crap, I can't wait for the next one. So you watch Quantum of Solace. Now, it's not as good, but you find out about this whole organization known as Quantum, and I had so many questions. I was like, what is Quantum? Like, who are these people? What are they doing? And then at the end of the movie, like, Mr. Green, he tells Bond everything, but we didn't get to hear it, so we don't know anything. We're still asking the questions, and then I'm like, okay, finally. Like, I'll wait for the next one. They announced Skyfall. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm like, finally, I'll get some answers to my questions, like, about Quantum and everything. They come out. It's an origin story. Another origin story. A freaking backstory. And not only that, it's a backstory that takes place in some random messed up timeline where he's been doing this for years now? Like, he's had that 1960 Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Like, okay, where the hell did he get it in this timeline? Where in the hell does Skyfall fall in the timeline? And, like, since when does Judi Dench live that freaking long? Like, for like, she's the head of MI6 for that long. It makes no sense into where Skyfall falls in the James Bond timeline. Although they never really had a designated timeline, but you have to assume because you see the different heads of people leave, coming and going.
Right.
You see M change. Like when Pierce Brosnan era, that's when Judi Dench started playing M.
Right.
So we get to see that with a friggin' Daniel Craig era. So I assumed that's where she, like, where it all started. So it makes sense that the Pierce Brosnan era and everything else, like, takes place after.
Right.
So that's where I'm viewing this. So you're watching thinking, okay, this is the, like, you watch Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, you're like, okay, this is the beginning of Bond. Then you watch Skyfall and you're like, oh, I wonder what happened. Like, I wonder what happened, like, to all, everything that happened in Quantum of Solace. Like, they didn't clear many things up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows about Quantum, but we don't. Like, the viewers don't know. So you watch the next one, and you're like, wait, I'm confused. Like, what happened about Quantum? Where's Mr. White? Like, wait. I thought this was, like, the beginning of Bond. Suddenly he's been doing this for years. He's getting old. He thinks he should quit. What? Where is that in the timeline? I'm so confused. And now this new one, they're trying to say that it fell in the same timeline. Spectre, that is my issue with Spectre as well, because they're saying that Spectre happens after Skyfall and he's quitting. Like, at the end of the movie, like, you're just like, okay, so he's quitting now? He's quitting MI6? Well, MI6, is the building was destroyed and the 00 program was completely kaput, so you kind of watch all these movies and you're like, so, like, James Bond, his whole story was just Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, and this? That's it? Like, what about all the other movies? Like, there is no timeline, and it drives me insane because now they're talking about how Quantum and Spectre, they mention Quantum, it's just a part of Spectre. That's all it is. That does not help me. That pisses me off. I hate Skyfall with a burning passion. It is a good movie. They just shouldn't have done it this early on. They should have made a trilogy with Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and, like, if they did Skyfall, keep the name, but change the story that has a trilogy and finish, like, completely cut out, like, fix the timeline! I'm sorry. I hate Skyfall for that reason. It was a good movie. It was a great idea, but they should have kept to where they were going with James Bond, with Daniel Craig era James Bond. They should have just kept going with it. Okay, I'm done.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a rant by Kurt Kohler about Skyfall. And actually, you threw your rant to incorporate your rant into the review of Spectre here. That is part of the reason I will say that Spectre is not the best James Bond film of the Daniel Craig era, because Spectre attempts to connect all the movies together and make it all the reason Oberhauser is behind everything. And it's a very loose thread, because you could easily say, I was behind it all. Anybody can say that. But we never really get shown. We're never he lists facts, yes, but we're never shown that he definitely got Lachief to where he was. He definitely got Green to where he was. Never got Silva to where he is. So because
Clear
of that,
off the plot holes.
I am okay with the reasoning that they give us, for because it makes the villain a little bit more, gives it a little more depth to the main character Bond. But the reasoning behind it, we don't, as an audience, really get shown what is it he did. We're just told he did. Okay. I'm all right with that, because it needs to move the movie along. But it's its attempt to give it more depth, and the depth that it tries to give isn't enough. Do I like the way... lost the name. Christoph Waltz. Do I like how Christoph Waltz portrayed Oberhauser or Blofeld? Yes, it was Blofeld. Spoilers from the beginning. Yes, I love how he portrayed Blofeld. Christoph Waltz is fantastic. And I was kind of afraid he was going to be cartoony when he first was announced. I'm like, oh, well, we know we're getting Blofeld. It's not a big surprise. But I was afraid it was going to be cartoony, and it was actually, like, exactly kind of how I imagined the role to be.
Christoph Waltz,
You made me love you.
Yeah, yeah, he was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I think he was... I don't want to say he's the best thing about the movie, because honestly, I love Mr. Jinx.
Yes.
Dave Bautista's
for, like,
character.
For every reason.
And I'll tell you all why, because he harps original classic Bond in every way. The silent brute who says nothing except one word. And it harps back to all the characters like Jaws, the Russian man from Russia with Love, Odd Job from Goldfinger.
You just feel classic Bond with him.
Yes.
And honestly, there's some badass parts where Dave Bautista is just like annihilating Bond.
Yeah.
Like the whole train scene. Oh my God. Okay. First of all, I love how I didn't expect it at all, because normally, like with Bond films, they always have that passionate scene and like the beautiful scene, like even with Vesper in Casino Royale,
yeah,
they sat and had a wonderful dinner and everything, and then she left, and then the crazy stuff happened.
It's like,
but
no,
in the middle of the nice part, he just walks up and is like, douche, breaking everything. He was straight Dave Bautista in that moment. I was just like, oh my God!
It's Dave Bautista! Can I get your autograph?
He straight up just like annihilated Bond in that whole scene.
Yeah.
But then Bond got lucky just because...
He's Bond.
Because James Bond.
And I do love the tension at the end of that train scene where he gets hooked on and then all the barrels go out one at a time. You're building that tension, and that, as far as filmmaking goes, that's why I think this is the most masterfully crafted James Bond film since Casino Royale. But it's still it's a very different directorial style than Martin Campbell's Casino Royale. So let's also include that Lea Sado, who played Madeline Snow, beautiful. And C, played by Andrew Scott, who's Moriarty on Sherlock, which is fantastic casting.
Freaking Moriarty.
It's funny that they would include him, because this is a story about Blofeld, who is the Moriarty, basically, to James Bond. So it all works out in the long run as far as casting. And then, like you said, Kurt, Mr. White returns from Quantum, and you get a little bit in there. I also want to talk about the themes of the movie. I found it interesting that the same theme of do we need people to spy harps over from Skyfall, but now it's a new direction with Blofeld, how he wants technology to be the future. He kind of wants to be a big brother, 1984 George Orwell kind of character. And yeah, that is basically how Blofeld was in the old ones. He was that, he always, in the old films, he always kind of made that mustache twirling villain to me. I'm like, meh. And he was the kind of person in the old films where kind of cartoony, where he would sit, you wouldn't see him, so he's clearly a villain. But at the table of all his cohorts, if someone said something wrong, he'd press a button, and then the seat would disappear, and he'd be in a tank full of sharks.
Well, I mean, Dr. Evil was based on him.
Exactly. So, and that's what it is. Dr. Evil is basically the caricature of what Blofeld is. Blofeld is actually scary, but Dr. Evil is...
Down to the scar.
Yes, right down to the scar. And Blofeld, as portrayed in this, is a little bit more realistic, and I love it, because when you first meet him, it's in that big boardroom meeting, just like in the old films, but when he shows up, there's that light behind him, you know he's a figure of importance just by seeing that. He sits down, you don't see his face, he doesn't say a word, but people go silent. It's those little elements that build the scene. You don't even need to say a word, but you know he's important. Because of how the camera is set up, how the lighting is, and how the rest of the characters react. That is masterful directing right there.
Plus that torture scene, though.
That torture scene, though. Oh, dear Lord. Although that torture scene, that's later in the film.
It feels like classic Bond.
It does, and yet there is a part of me that kind of...
With the watch, dude. The watch.
Yes.
Classic Bond.
Here's the only thing with me. I think the CGI just kind of threw me off. The CGI for the drill and everything in that scene, it threw me off a little bit, and it made me not believe it as much, but the feeling of actually getting the drill, that tortures you. That tortures the people, the audience. We can relate to that. We know what that would probably feel like. And we're like, oh, God, that tension is what is real. That's what's needed. Yes. Kurt's just laughing now.
No, I just thought it was so stupid. Like, can you imagine if Blofeld was just like, I'm going to do the worst torture possible. And it's like, to James Bond, and it's like, what? I'm going to give you permanent Cheeto fingers.
No!
Can you imagine, though? Permanent Cheeto fingers.
Sorry. All right, James Bond, time for your root canal.
No! Sorry.
I'm going to give you DirecTV, but nothing to watch.
No!
And the other theme in the film was that we all have a choice. I found that kind of interesting because it's, again, not really a theme that we needed in this film. Because with the James Bond character, we know he's always going to come back. That's the problem. That's the problem with that
he's
theme.
He's always going to come back.
And the theme, that theme has played around from Casino Royale, which was, it worked a lot better in Casino Royale. Because we didn't know, since he's a spy starting out, if he would come back. Of course, he's James Bond. Yes, we already know when more movies come out, he's going to be back, of course. But the character being in such a fresh spot in Casino Royale, you have this person who we don't know exactly what he's going to do. That worked 10 times better than in Spectre. And the love in Casino Royale over Spectre was 10 times better. You had a character, Vesper, who was his equal, his mind game partner.
She was James Bond with tits.
Exactly. Now, this character saying, I love you to James Bond.
Honestly, they could have kept out her saying, I love you. Just don't say it. It doesn't need to be said. And it would have been a million times better.
It would have been better. I don't know if a million times better, but I would say better. And, yeah.
Just don't have it at all. Just because, cut out the, because most times, even today, you don't need to say it. It's just the little things. You know. You just know. You know how they feel about each other.
You know how women are. They want you to say the L
word.
And
doesn't matter.
Why do you think
nowadays,
men hold out?
You don't need to say it. It doesn't need to be said. Because for movies especially, you can tell. You can see it. And that, like, it doesn't need to be said.
Another thing I wanted to point out was the sets. The set direction, the artistic design, again, with the lighting. It again harped back to classic Bond in a lot of ways for me. When you look at the big sets of the old films where they had meetings, and it's like, here's a table with a lot of chairs, and then all of a sudden it's a freaking huge room where they're in, and it's a lot to look at. There's a lot going on. It made those films interesting in the day because they had less to work with. This film has a lot to work with, but decided to keep that feel. And that feel was brought out in the meeting room. That feel was brought out when they're at the facility in the desert where they see the meteorite. It's like the lighting's on it perfect. He's talking off screen. It's, again, that very like Silva-esque intro when he's first talking and he meets Bond in Skyfall and he's walking slowly up to him. Like, those things were very classic Bond-esque with how you feel about the villain. Because they're cool, they're confident, they're calm, and they know what they want. That's what I like about classic Bond villains, and that was very well portrayed in these films, too, with Daniel Craig. Do you have anything to add?
Last Rat Standing.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to.
Yeah.
I actually really like that whole scene where the thing with the rats, I loved it.
I like Silva. I liked Silva as a villain, but with Spectre, with Blofeld, I really enjoyed Blofeld. I think as far as the emotional tie between him and James Bond, again, it wasn't as deep as they thought they probably wanted it to go. It seemed like that needed a bit of a rewrite. But as far as the action, everything was top-notch. It was all good. Very classic Bond-esque. I mean, I really have not much else to say about it except just praising it like that for what it is. But I do believe that if this is the last Daniel Craig film, I'd be perfectly happy. I don't know about you, Kurt, but I mean,
they already screwed up the timeline, so I really don't give a flying fladoodle.
Flying fladoodle.
I'm at the point where I just don't care anymore.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn toot and a holler.
I just don't care. Like, do whatever you want. MGM. It's still MGM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, do whatever you want. I don't even care. You screwed up the timeline, so I'm at the point where I just don't care anymore.
Well, that's our review on Spectre. So let's get into Ask the Nerds. And for me, I was really just going to talk about Daniel Craig's legacy so far. As far as the films, which would you say is the best one?
We all know the answer.
The best? Well, you are okay. Saying your favorite.
Honestly, favorite. My hands down favorite, and this includes all of James Bond movies, is Casino Royale.
Okay.
Casino Royale with Daniel Craig is my absolute favorite James Bond film of all time.
Mm-hmm.
All time. And that's saying something. But the thing is, to be completely honest, Spectre really brought the oomph.
The drive it needed to push it into a direction. The will, the cheese.
The cheese. They brought the cheese and the potatoes.
Ooh. That's really saying something.
It's kind of
you're such a way with words here.
I know, right? I'm so killing it right now.
This is top quality podcasting right now.
It feels like the perfect blend with old and new of Bond.
Yeah.
It is the perfect blend of old and new.
Yeah.
Because you still, like, in every way, you feel the old Bond films. And at the same time, you still have all the new technology with the 1984 Big Brother stuff. You have that. You have, oh my God, the Aston Martin DB10.
Mm.
That prototype. Oh God, I love that car.
It was a beauty.
And how dare them sink it?
Yeah, even I was sitting there in the theater like, no.
You're like, no.
Oh.
But yeah, like, baby, that car was beautiful.
So you're talking, your favorite one ever is Casino Royale, but what would you say the best of the Daniel Craigs are?
It has to be Spectre. Because it's the perfect blend. It's the perfect blend and feel. And plus, at the end of the movie, I literally thought we all know, at the end of the movie, he had a choice of whether to kill Blofeld or not. And you kind of guessed that he wasn't going to kill Blofeld because, I mean, Blofeld shows up later on. But at the same time, I partially thought he was going to kill him and be like, no, I don't have a choice.
Yeah. Well, that was another interesting thing about the film.
You would look at it saying, a normal person would look at it and be like, he's not going to kill him. Like, because you know, after the whole premise of the movie, he does have a choice. You realize he really does have a choice. And then at that point, you're like, he's not going to kill him. So you assume he's not going to kill him. Me, I was like, you know what? But that's not Bond. Bond realizes that he has to do his job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was thinking of it, how Bond would look at it. And when he didn't kill him, I was like, oh, okay. But then, okay, and the ending, that was stupid as hell. Like, they just drive off, MI6 is done, that 00 program is done. It's just like, and they're driving off into the sunset. I'm like,
see, you're questioning it a lot, and that's why I'm not convinced that you think it's the best.
The ending was dumb. I was just like, no.
See, and this is where I'm going to say, I do not think that Spectre is the best because we're questioning it too much. There's too much doubt.
Okay, then it's Casino Royale.
I do think Casino Royale...
It's Casino... Okay.
Of Daniel Craig's films, that is the best, hands down.
It's Casino Royale.
It is my favorite of the Daniel Craig's.
Plus, I love Judi Dench as M.
Yeah, she is good. I think the best one of all the films is still From Russia with Love. I mean, it's either that or Goldfinger because they're the two ones that you could argue. But as far as films of today... No, that's my opinion.
Sorry.
Casino Royale is easily the best. I was convinced by everything with the writing, the top-notch acting, the direction. Everything was spot on. I have a personal love for Quantum of Solace. I know everybody hates it. I know no one really likes it. There's things that I like about it more than I like Skyfall.
It's better than Skyfall.
Skyfall as a movie is better, but Quantum of... Let me put this out. As a movie, it's better. It works better. But Quantum of Solace, I feel like, was a really good follow-up to Casino Royale because Casino Royale was huge. So people's natural instinct is, how are they going to top this one? Well, I think it was a good idea that they didn't. They didn't try. They went down.
That's why Quantum of Solace is better than Skyfall.
Skyfall tried to be something huge, and it failed, in my opinion.
It failed. The world does not see it that way.
I think if I took Spectre...
I think people are retarded when it comes to that. Like, they're like, oh my god, it's the best Bond film ever. Oh my god. And I'm just over here going, are you serious?
Exactly. Like, it's a good film. It's a good film, but not the best.
And just, no.
If I had to rate it, Spectre would be 4.25. Skyfall would be about a 4.
Yeah, Skyfall is about...
Now, yes, Quantum of Solace is not as good, but I'd probably put Quantum of Solace at 3.5. But there's reasons I like Quantum of Solace more than I like Skyfall. And like I said, because it's not as big, it is a quick film, and there wasn't really a whole lot to say, but I also like that. It wasn't like, let's not go too in-depth with this. Let's get it and get it done. It moved as quick as, like, the way the director put it, it was quick like a bullet. And that's what I liked about it. It was so fine-tuned to the point. So, but that's my thoughts about Daniel Craig films. So, Casino Royale, we agree on? Best one?
Yeah, Casino Royale.
Everybody, just go watch Casino Royale a couple times. It's good. It's good. It's good stuff. So that...
Take us out, Corey.
It's our show. That's our show. Thanks
a
lot.
It's our show?
Yeah, that's our show.
We have a show!
I know. Great, isn't it? Who gave this to us? Oh, wait, we did it. We're having a great time. Thank you all for listening to us today. You probably already know how to reach us, but if you don't, here's how. You can follow us on Podomatic.com or through iTunes on the podcast app. Like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at JustNerdStuff1. Get involved. Give us comments or suggestions because our show is shaped by you. Or ask a question for our Ask the Nerd segment. If we pick it, you'll get a shout out. If you do use iTunes, do us a favor and give us a rating and review. And as always, don't forget to share our podcast with your friends because we need to spread the nerdiness. Hey, Kurt. Kurt.
What?
Kurt, hi.
What?
Guess what?
What?
Time for the fun fact of the day.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God, Stacy!
Kurt!
Stacy!
Kurt!
Stacy!
Kurt, get back here.
Fun fact of the day.
Stacy!
Oh my god, oh my god. What are you guys talking about up here? It's a fun fact.
Stacy's not here.
Oh, Stacy died. So, did you know from the movie Dr. No, all the way up to apparently Quantum of Solace, we're going to have to add in a few numbers, but up to Quantum of Solace, James Bond has killed 352 people and slept with 52 women.
Holy crap.
You dog.
So, someone did the math and counted it all.
So, I mean, I don't know who else we'd add as far as killing, but we...
I feel like 352 is not a lot.
He slept with the chick in Skyfall at the beginning, the like, prostitute. And then he slept with two women in Spectre. So that's three extra women. So 55 women.
He killed a lot of people.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people in the new one, too. So, I mean, if you count a gunshot for each kill, you know what? Props.
352, that seems low.
How does he not have an STD, though? After 52 women. You can't tell me it's because it's different men. No. If it's the character, he's got AIDS. Kurt's just confused.
And did you notice that most of the Bond women in the Daniel Craig era were single?
Yeah, weird.
What?
And he likes married women.
Yeah.
Well.
He really does.
I don't know. I'm not worried about
it. The ones that are taken.
All I know is he's got AIDS.
Stay nerdy, universe.